Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. This is Sinner Saves coming at you with the following short evangelistic gospel message, which is sponsored by Preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brethren in Christ at First Baptist Church, located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my continual hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that His only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that His everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that His elect saints be greatly encouraged and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by His sovereign free grace, that is to say, Almighty God in His unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. Jesus, our hiding place. How do we with confidence come before the all-holy God and stand in His presence? This is a great question for both the unsaved and believers alike. The unsaved person, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, knows that his sin has separated him from God. Isaiah 59:2. Likewise, the believer, through the ministry of the Word and the Spirit, is conscious that his very best efforts are flawed and that his very righteousness is like a filthy rag, a reference Isaiah 64:6. How then can either of them come before God and receive a welcome? No doubt this was Adam's question when he put his fig leaves together for a makeshift covering. However, he knew that, because of sin, what he really needed was a covering that left him unexposed. He tried his best, but even then, his fig leaves were inadequate, and he knew it. Sensing the inadequacy of his covering, see how he rushed into the bushes to hide when God came near. But even then, concealed in the bushes, he knew there was no hiding place from the Lord. It's interesting, by the way, to note that man's impulse, because of sin, is to hide from God. Even as believers, we often make Adam's ancient mistake. But sin is no barrier to grace. Although man is the hider, God is the seeker. And in grace, he comes seeking to save that which was lost. Read what the Master said about this in Luke 19:10. In grace, the Lord called Adam and began to tell of the coming deliverer, the seed of the woman. In him, men would find a better covering than fig leaves in a much better hiding place. In that day, God revealed himself as the God who hates and punishes sin, yet who, by grace, takes the sinner's side against the sinner's enemy, the old serpent. See Genesis 3:15. Because of the promise of the seed of the woman, the true hiding place, Adam could now discard his makeshift concealment and know that with God's new covering, he could stand before the Almighty without fear or shame. We too should hear the good news, as Adam did, from the lips of God himself. When God declares a matter, the declaration is true and filled with all authority. We believe, not because the truth feels right, but because God has spoken. See Psalm 32:4, also Psalm 138:2. This is the foundation of our faith. Adam's fall gave God the opportunity to demonstrate his character of abounding grace toward his people. We deserve nothing, yet there is nothing God will not do for us. Calvary proves that. God will go to any length to heap favors on his people. Through Christ alone, he gives us the highest place in heaven and the nearest position to the throne. Please see Ephesians 2:6. It is high time to abandon all other hiding places and be clothed in Christ alone. Hail, sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who rules the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night, and fond of darkness more than light. Madly I ran the sinful race, secure without a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man! I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew, but justice cried with frowning face, This mountain is no hiding place! Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared, who led me on with gentle pace to Jesus as my hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell, that must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for the chosen race, and thus became their hiding place. Should storms of sevenfold vengeance roll, and shake this earth from pole to pole, no flaming bolt could daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace to Jesus Christ, my hiding place. And that's the gospel truth, friends. Providence mysterious. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Behold, the God of providence working his perfect will. To him belongs omnipotence, his purpose to fulfill. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Behold the God of providence working his perfect will. To him belongs omnipotence, his purpose to fulfill. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Behold the God of providence working his perfect will. To him belongs omnipotence, his purpose to fulfill. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Behold the God of providence working his perfect will. To him belongs omnipotence, his purpose to fulfill. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Behold the God of providence working his perfect will. To him belongs omnipotence, his purpose to fulfill. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Behold the God of providence working his perfect will. To him belongs omnipotence, his purpose to fulfill. The power of the cross. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross was not an effort to save all men without exception, but the accomplishment of the redemption of those given to him in covenant grace before the world began. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. The substitutionary sacrifice of the Savior did not merely render salvation possible. His death was an offering that saved his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. His work of redemption really redeemed, having obtained eternal redemption for us, Hebrews 9:12. His death was a reconciliation that actually reconciled. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, Romans 5:10. His sacrifice was an offering which perfected forever them that are sanctified, Hebrews 10:14. It is a commonly held belief that the everlasting salvation of sinners hinges upon their willingness to accept what Jesus Christ did for them upon the cross. My friends, the cross death of the Son of God is not up for the acceptance or rejection of men. His blood was offered to the Lord as the full payment price required for the liberation of his people from the claims of divine justice due to their sinfulness. The resurrection of Christ is testimony that God accepted our Savior and his sacrifice for our sin. Yes, his people will be brought to true repentance toward God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith does not make the death of the Savior effectual. It does not put away sin. It does not make sinners acceptable to God, nor does it not bring in everlasting righteousness. Actually, is the exact opposite. Faith in the blessed Savior is the result of his redemptive work. It is the effect of his removal of sin. It is the consequence of righteousness. having been brought in, belief on Christ flows out of the power of the cross. Distinguishing grace. The distinguishing grace of God is seen in saving that people whom he has sovereignly singled out to be his high favorites. By distinguishing, we mean that grace discriminates, makes differences, chooses some, and passes by others. It was distinguishing grace that selected Abraham from the midst of his idolatrous neighbors and made him the friend of God, James 2:23. Distinguishing grace saved publicans and sinners, but said of the religious Pharisees, let them alone, Matthew 15:14. Nowhere does the glory of God's free and sovereign grace shine more conspicuously than in the unworthiness and unlikeliness of its objects. The Savior's agonies. Our blessed Lord, when he had hung 3 hours on the cross and suffered not only in his body, but which was more dreadful still, endured in his immaculate soul that sense of the divine wrath which was due to his people, broke out in that bitter cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As much to say, to what depth of immense distress does the withdrawing of thy presence reduce me? Christ suffered as our substitute and in our stead. The punishment which must otherwise have fallen on us was transferred on him. And one part of that punishment consisted in the inward manifestations of the divine displeasure. These, therefore, the Redeemer felt, not for any evil done by him, but for the sins done by others, which he graciously took upon himself to atone for, so that this was the time wherein it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and to make his soul an offering for sin. If the Most High God bent his bow against him as an enemy, and stood at his right hand as an adversary, it is easy to account for the prodigious consternation of the Redeemer. It is not to be wondered at that his heart, though otherwise endued with invincible fortitude, should on this occasion become like melting wax. Reference to Psalm 22:14. The vinegar and the gall which they gave him to drink were not half so bitter as the cup of his father's wrath, yet for the sake of his people he drank it to the very dregs. The nails that pierced his hands and the spear that cleft his heart were not half so sharp as the frowns of his eternal father's countenance, which for our consolation he patiently submitted to bear. He was rent with wounds and racked with pain, yet all this was gentle, was lenient in comparison of those inexpressible agonies which penetrated his very soul. The former fetched not a single complaint from his mouth, the latter wrung from his breaking heart that passionate exclamation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Astonishing words, surely a distress beyond all imagination, grievous, uttered them. Surely the vengeance, not of men, but of heaven itself, exhorted them, every syllable by which speaks what the prophet describes. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Lamentations 1:12. Salvation by grace. Not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear the awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Thy love to me, O God, not mine, O Lord, to thee, can rid me of this dark unrest and set my spirit free. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon still, or pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can this sore bondage break. No other work save thine, no other blood will do, no strength save that which is divine can bear me safely through. I bless the cross of Christ, I rest on love divine. And with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Savior mine. His cross dispels each doubt I bury in his tomb, each thought of unbelief and fear, each lingering shade of gloom. I praise the God of grace. I trust his truth and might. He calls me his. I call him mine, my God, my joy, my light. 'Tis he who saved me. and freely pardon gives. I love because he loveth me. I live because he lives. His glory, Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 14. Please see that, friends. The glory of the triune God is paramount in all things. This glory is magnified in the electing of a people by the Father in Christ. It is magnified in the saving of that people through the blood of Christ. And it is magnified in the revelation of our Savior in our new hearts through the Holy Spirit. When the child of God is finally brought home, we will forever sing praise to his glory in perfection and for all eternity. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And the Master says in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, Yehovah Tsidkenu, Baruch Hashem, bless the name, forever and ever. If you are led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor future shortwave world band radio broadcasts, then please go to WWCR.com and get their address to send donations. Please remember to indicate that it's for the storm warning broadcast. Of interest here is that there are tens of millions of poor folks that don't have modern technology, but they do have old-fashioned and expensive radios, and that's how they're able to listen to the gospel message of Christ Jesus and him crucified. I greatly appreciate those of you that have donated funds. In doing so, you are propagating God's everlasting gospel around the world and to the glory of our Lord Jesus, the soon coming King of glory and the Son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings unto those that fear him in his holy name. Oh, what a wonderful future, people. I don't think we can hardly imagine. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address is TheLordBeMagnified@gmail.com, and please indicate what country you're from, and I would really look forward to writing you back. That's TheLordBeMagnified@gmail.com. Great is our Lord Jesus, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends, our mighty and glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha!